This weekend marks the last big campaign push in states that go to the polls on Tuesday. Voters in 8 states will consider ballot measures. They range from an anti-gay marriage initiative in Texas to a wide-ranging smoking ban in Washington state. California has some of the sharpest debate, with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger campaigning for a whole package of contentious changes. New York City will elect a mayor, as will Detroit, Miami, Cleveland, Charlotte, and San Diego.
In this segment of the program, we're going to take a look at one of the two gubernatorial races on Tuesday's ballot, the one in Virginia. Virginia and New Jersey are the two states that elect their governors the year after a presidential election. And Virginia adds a wrinkle. A sitting governor may not run for re-election. So the state's popular Democratic incumbent, Mark Warner, is on the sidelines. His Democratic lieutenant governor, Tim Kaine, is battling a former state attorney general, Republican Jerry Kilgore. Our colleague Robert Siegel spoke with the two candidates, and he reports on a tight race with a surprising dimension. A lot of talk about faith from the more liberal of the two men, the Democrat.
At 8 o'clock one morning this week, the Garden Kitchen Restaurant in Occoquan, Virginia, is packed with Tim Kaine supporters. They're avidly awaiting the Democratic candidate, and they're avidly eyeing the home-baked pies of the proprietor, Marie Claire.
Can I get a coffee, please?
Occoquan is in a crucial part of the state, the outer suburbs of Washington, D.C. The closer into Washington, the better Democrats do. The farther away, the longer the commutes and the newer the subdivisions, the better Republicans do. Occoquan is in Prince William County, 23 miles south of D.C., a one-way rush hour commute of about an hour on a good day. Over the past 25 years, the county's population has more than doubled, and it votes Republican. Tim Kaine arrives, and the 50 or so supporters in the restaurant give him a warm welcome.
This is like my Catholic church, the empty chairs in the front and the crowd in the back. But if folks want to sit down, please come forward.
Tim Kaine's reference to his Catholic church is noteworthy. He proceeds to talk about continuing the popular policies of Democratic Governor Mark Warner.
Today, because of great work that Mark and I have done with legislators and with you, you guys have reached out and helped us. Best managed state in America, okay? Best managed state in America.
But there are other references to his faith, to his Catholicism.
The way I'm able to work so hard is there's a great line in one of Paul's letters to the Hebrews that talk about being surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that bear you up.
The year
that I took off in law school to work as a missionary, which kind of turned my life around and made me focus.
Tim Kaine's faith talk has penetrated his media campaign as well. Kaine used to be mayor of Richmond, Virginia, the state capital, and before that he was a civil rights lawyer. He defended death penalty cases. His opponent, former Attorney General Jerry Kilgore, launched a television ad featuring the father of a Virginia homicide victim.
Tim Kaine voluntarily represented the person who murdered my son.
Democrat Tim Kaine responded in a television ad of his own, pledging to implement the death penalty if elected, despite his own moral misgivings.
My faith teaches life is sacred. That's why I personally oppose the death penalty. But I take my oath of office seriously. And I'll enforce the death penalty.
Tim Kaine speaks of the Catholic Church teaching expressed by Pope John Paul in 1995 that executions are only justified when there is no other way to prevent future crime. Retribution is not justification. When I spoke with Tim Kaine after his campaign appearance in Occoquan, he agreed that he doesn't shy away from talking about his faith.
No, not at all. I mean, my politicians all the time tell people who they are. Here's my hobby. I'm married. I got kids. Here's what I do as a profession, and I feel like if we're going to share those things, why not share the thing that's the most important, and particularly because it's a motivator for me in being in public service. And the year that I spent in Honduras, especially as a missionary when I was in law school, is a real motivator for me, and so I feel very comfortable sharing that.
When you spoke to this group, I mean, you began by saying, looks like my Catholic church here, the seats are empty up front. You mentioned your missionary service. You quoted
one of Paul's letters, right?
St. Paul's letters. This is a motif of your campaign and who you are.
It is, and it's something that there's been some poking at me from the other side about it. I have a little bit of pushback occasionally, even within my own party about it, but I just made a decision about what I wanted to do with my life 25 years ago when I was in Honduras, and I've kind of been on a path ever since, and I just feel like it's relevant for people to know. I'm not trying to proselytize or get anybody to be like me, but I am trying to let them know the yardstick I use for myself so that they can measure me.
So, what to make of a candidate who invokes his faith to describe the moral reservations he intends to overcome in implementing the death penalty. Two Catholic theologians told us that the Church recognizes that in an imperfect world, a Catholic officeholder may well be obliged to contravene Church teachings. They both noted that when some American bishops said they would deny communion to pro-choice Catholics like John Kerry, those bishops were in a very small minority. The two theologians both acknowledged a space between faith and action. In 2004, many people thought Kerry was cornered in that space, and so, unwilling to talk about it, he came off as unreligious. Well, Tim Kaine is eager to talk about it.
You know, my church teaches that abortion and the death penalty are wrong, and not just because somebody or my church says it, but I have come to embrace both of those teachings through the experience of living for 47 years. I embrace both, so I'm against abortion and the death penalty. And I've always said I'm not going to change my religion even to get one vote, and I'm not going to hide what my beliefs are. But I'm not running to be King George III. You know, I'm running in a system where, as governor, I put my hand on a Bible, and I swear that I'm going to follow the laws of Virginia and the United States.
When Kaine's Republican opponent, Jerry Kilgore, hears that, he says he hears evasiveness.
My opponent will never carry out capital punishment. He spent his lifetime of activism against capital punishment. He's argued that it's unconstitutional. He's led anti-death penalty rallies down in Richmond. What he said is he'll uphold the law, and the law in Virginia allows a governor for any reason or no reason at all to commute the sentence of anyone on death row.
So when you hear Mr. Kaine say, I will uphold the law, you're hearing wiggle room is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
But he's gone on television in advertisements and said, although I have my own personal beliefs that work against capital punishment, I accept Catholic teachings on that point, that's the law in Virginia and I'll be able to uphold it. The message seems to be, I will permit executions to take place.
My grandfather used to always say, you can best tell where someone's going if you look at where they've been. Look at where Tim Kaine's been his entire career. Look at where he's been in his public policy debate, calling for a moratorium on the death penalty. Just can't trust Tim Kaine on this important issue of the death penalty.
Jerry Kilgore is 44. He's from a politically active family from southwestern Virginia, bedrock Republican conservative territory. Virginia is home to Pat Robertson and to Jerry Falwell, and in a state that's just 10% Catholic, those are the religious voices you usually associate with Virginia politics. Kilgore is doing political battle in the booming suburbs of northern Virginia, full of people who've moved to the state from elsewhere, people whose accents sound nothing
Thank
like
you.
His.
Thank you all. Thank you all for being here. Tonight, I sure feel like I'm in Kilgore country right here in northern Virginia.
Well, not exactly. The same day that Kaine was in Occoquan, Kilgore was also in northern Virginia, and he spoke that evening in Arlington, one of the most Democratic counties in the state. But this was at the Army-Navy Country Club. Arlington is home to the Pentagon and to Fort Myer. All told, Virginia ranks number one among the states in military spending per capita. Kilgore's audience of a few dozen Virginians included many veterans, and the candidate spoke of his commitment to veterans and reservists of wars past and present.
Because Virginia's veterans have served so admirably, they have made America what it is today. They have given their fellow Virginians the amazing good fortune to be able to live and work in communities where they are safe and where they are secure.
Our capital punishment was not mentioned. Political scientist Mark Rozell of George Mason University, who follows Virginia politics closely, says Kilgore probably overreached on that issue.
A lot of people felt that Kilgore's ads just crossed the line a little bit. In one of the ads, Hitler's name is invoked.
The Hitler reference was right. Tim Kaine had said that even Adolf Hitler didn't merit the death penalty, which Tim right. Kaine protested was something of an exaggeration of what he had said.
Yeah, and so what I found very fascinating is that Tim Kaine, who says he supports implementing the death penalty and that he would as governor, projected the viewpoint essentially that this is a non-issue in the campaign because no matter who's governor next year, the law will be exactly the same on the death penalty.
Tim Kaine's response to those ads was unusual in that he not only said, I will implement the death penalty, he volunteered both his faith and his ambivalence about what he'd be doing.
Yeah, I think it was a masterly stroke on his part because effectively what he conveyed once the dust settled was the message that we have two candidates who will implement the death penalty. Thus, there's no difference as to who's governor next year on this issue. Secondly, Tim Kaine is a man who has a conscience, that he thinks very deeply about these things. And when it comes time close to midnight where the governor has to make that fateful decision. Because of his moral framework, he's going to think really hard and deeply about this.
Mark Rozell says that after the thrust and parry over capital punishment, no clear theme has emerged in the Virginia race. Jerry Kilgore is running against the tax increases of the incumbent administration. He's also in favor of widening a key interstate highway, I-66, in the inner suburbs to accommodate commuters from the outer suburbs. As for the story of faith that voters hear in the biography of his opponent, Republican Kilgore is more reticent. But when asked about his faith, he is forthcoming.
Faith influences my life. It always has. I've sort of grown up in the church. I was the church pianist for many, many years, and faith has influenced many of my public policy decisions. Every day on this campaign trail, someone comes up to me and says, I'm praying for you. That makes me feel good.
There's a certain irony here, which is that we're much more accustomed to the conservative Republican Protestant candidate talking about his faith than the more liberal Democratic Catholic candidate talking about his faith. But that's what's happening in this race.
Well, I mean, you know, different people choose to express their faith in different ways. I just choose to express mine quietly.
It's tempting to look at Virginia and read in Jerry Kilgore's campaign a measure of the national GOP, or in Tim Kaine's campaign an omen of national Democratic fortunes, but it's not that simple. In the state that is the most reliably Republican in presidential races, statewide elections can be real contests. When Republican Kilgore is asked about the effect of President Bush's plummeting popularity at this time, he reminds you of the last Virginia governor's race, November 2001. George Bush's approval ratings were at their highest, and Virginia elected as governor Mark Warner, a Democrat.
That report from our colleague Robert Siegel, and you can find analysis of all the key races and initiatives at our website, npr.org.